A few things imagined by you. You're a clever lot, you loggers. Full of ideas. We hear about the stuff you are dreaming up all the time, and we often pass along that information in these pages. For this brief accounting, we focused on physical objects. Things you can touch. But choosing was a challenge. In the end, we limited them to items that are patented, so we didn't include the many, many creative or intellectual ideas our graduates have come up with. Proud as we are of them, and we know that when it comes to logger inventions, this gathering isn't anywhere near comprehensive. So if you've invented something, or you know someone who has, we'd love to hear about it. And now, on to the gizmos. High Tech. Larry Penberthy, 36. In 1969, Larry Penberthy, an engineer and avid mountaineer, became interested in testing the strength and reliability of climbing gear. He founded Mountain Safety Research, and the company immediately began producing technologically innovative products that transformed the outdoor equipment industry. The first aluminum shaft ice axe, a succession of revolutionary backpacking stoves, tents, snowshoes, water filters, the list goes on and on. Soon, MSR became a name known to every man and woman who ever trekked the backcountry. Penberthy is credited with other inventions, too. Everything from a kind of lead-impregnated glass used as shielding for nuclear materials, to deep-sea diving gear. Into the Woods. Cushily. Jim Lay, 43. Neil Anderson, 43. John Burroughs, 48. When the supersonic transport program crashed in 1971, thousands of Boeing engineers got the boot. Among them, mechanical engineer Jim Lay. Out of gainful employment, but not out of ideas, Jim, an avid hiker and peak bagger, and climbing buddy John Burroughs, also a Boeing engineer, one day were talking about the horrible state of camping mattresses. It wasn't long before Lay was at work with Delta Kappa Phi fraternity brother Neil Anderson, designing the camping pad of the future. Marrying materials and ideas borrowed from garden kneeling pads and nylon-covered life jackets, prototypes of the first Therm-a-Rest mattresses were born. The self-inflating sleeping pad, with an open-cell foam interior bonded to an airtight skin of urethane-coated nylon, was light in weight and compact, but delivered more insulation than thin foam pads and more comfort than floppy air mattresses. No longer was a night in the outdoors a feat of painful endurance. Although Lay originally planned to license the pad's manufacturing rights, he became engrossed by the engineering details and the entrepreneurial challenge of field testing, and the aircraft designer in him was obsessed with maintaining production quality. With money he'd saved while at Boeing, additional cash, legal counsel, and financial advice from his attorney brother John Lay, 36, and marketing savvy, sales know-how, and capital provided by Burroughs, Cascade Designs Incorporated was launched in 1972. Andy Dappin, parent, 15. It's all about vibration. Gary Anderson, 80. The modern violin and viola have been around for more than 400 years. And for the first 200 of those years, players held their instruments clamped firmly between chin and shoulder, with no chin rest at all. Not only was this awkward, but it greatly limited left-hand technique, and pressing against the instrument deadened vibration. Then, in the early 1800s, the German violinist Louis Spohr came up with a cup-shaped chin rest that attached to the instrument with metal clamps and pads of cork or felt. This made more advanced left-hand technique easier, but it still dampened the sound. While Spohr's chin rest has evolved into numerous variations, there hasn't been a change in the basic design in 200 years. Meet Gary Anderson, 80. Gary is a violinist and computer scientist who also has been a violin teacher and orchestra director. And he's an audiophile, a pastime that focuses on the accurate reproduction of music. Suffice to say, he can be obsessed about getting the best out of things that vibrate and make sound. Several years ago, someone demonstrated to him how moving the chin rest position on his violin could make it sound better. Gary, an inveterate tinkerer, thought he could do better. He started experimenting with an old chin rest and materials other than traditional cork pads, and soon he hit upon a chin rest system that allows the top, back, and sides of an instrument to vibrate more freely. This helps create a fuller tone on most instruments, greater dynamic range, and can make it easier to play in tune. So will it make your old junior high practice fiddle sound like a Strad? No, says Gary, but it will make most violins and violas sound better. Plus, he says, it just feels good playing with better vibration. Most important, my Resonation Chinrest can help a violin or violist get more joy out of making music as soon as they put it on. And that sounds good to us. Gary has 3 patents for his chinrest design, which is featured at resonationchinrest.com. Plus, he's created a few other things, such as improved stereo cables and power cords for audio equipment. He says he's always working on something new. Easy on, easy off sun protection. Betsy Wanless Johnson, 07. At age 26, Betsy had skin cancer. She's fine now, but she learned that the most damaging sun exposure often happens before age 18, and she wondered whether her own children were at risk. In 2010, Betsy and her brother, Barry Wanless, were on a beach in Cancun watching their children play. The mid-latitude sun was on her mind, and then Barry started to complain about how hard it was getting little kids into, and especially out of, swimsuits. Two concerns that they reasoned could be addressed with a single solution. A couple of months later, the siblings started Swim Zip. Swim Zip is UV 50+ swimwear for babies and toddlers. The swim shirts have a full-length closure designed to make the suits easy to put on and take off. Bigger kids can do it by themselves. There's a no-pinch zipper flap, a tagless neck, and the stitching is nice and flat so kids don't get cranky and uncomfortable when the suit is wet and sandy. The fabric is chlorine-resistant, and since it covers more of the body than a regular swimsuit, parents aren't constantly reapplying sunscreen. Swim Zip is one of those "why didn't someone think of this sooner?" products, and Betsy's venture has received a ton of notice in the press. She and Barry were on Shark Tank last January. Shark, Lori Grenier, of the home shopping network QVC, invested $60,000 in the company. Their products have been seen on Today and CNN, in Money, Parents, and People, and reviewed by dozens of websites for parents. Staying safe and looking cool. Allison Farner Swanigan, 04. On a rainy evening in April 2012, Allison was supposed to be celebrating. It was her 30th birthday, and she was about to spend a weekend in Denver, a short distance away from her home in Erie, Colorado. Her husband, Andy, had arranged an elaborate party. Dinner at Allison's favorite Mexican restaurant, a night of dancing, a hotel stay, and a surprise visit from an old Puget Sound classmate who was flying in from Seattle. Andy had recruited Allison's mom to stay at home with her 2 children, Lily, 4, and Jack, 2. So Allison's mind should have been on the fun weekend ahead, but instead, she was worried about Jack. He was lethargic and tired. Really tired. He had a painful diaper rash that refused to clear up, and his normally sparkling blue eyes were surrounded by dark purple circles. A local pediatrician had insisted Jack was fine. Maybe just fighting a bug, something he might have picked up at daycare, he said. But Allison's intuition told her otherwise. The big birthday celebration came and went. Twice more she took Jack to the pediatrician. 5 visits in 2 weeks. Each time she got the same diagnosis. Just normal kid stuff. Then, a daycare worker pulled Allison aside and recommended she take her son to the emergency room. She and Andy raced to the Children's Hospital, Colorado. As they described Jack's symptoms, they watched the doctor's eyes grow wide. Jack was immediately given a blood sugar test. His count was 790, just 10 points below where most diabetic comas start. He was lucky to be alive. One doctor told Allison that 40% of children they see in Jack's state never leave the hospital. Jack pulled through, but his life and his parents' lives would never be the same. He has type 1 diabetes, a genetic autoimmune condition that requires lifelong blood sugar monitoring and insulin injections. In addition to a restricted diet and a barrage of pricks and shots, he had to wear a Medic Alert ID bracelet, something that tells emergency medical personnel he is diabetic. But Jack hated his bracelet. It was clunky and too big for his tiny wrist. Plus, it wasn't very noticeable. Allison wanted an alternative to jewelry that adults around Jack could see right away. A bonus would be if he liked wearing it, something that made him feel cool and special instead of weird and different. After learning that adults with type 1 diabetes commonly permanently tattoo a medical alert on their body, Allison came up with the idea of temporary tattoos for kids. She was an art major at Puget Sound, and she created an eye-catching temporary tattoo that is non-toxic, waterproof, and good for sports, daycare, or anywhere else that Jack might be without his mom and dad. The best part was that Jack loved wearing it. He ran around, delighted, flashing a special sticker to everyone he met. Temp Alert ID was born. Allison has added tattoos for epilepsy and food allergies, plus a completely customizable tattoo for kids with other conditions. Ingrid Johnson Reinke, 04. More comfortable splints. Lynn Swedberg, 75. During the 1980s, when Lynn, an occupational therapist, was working with skilled nursing facilities all over the eastern third of Washington state, she encountered many patients with significant joint contractures. Contractures develop when people aren't able to move their extremities through the full range of motion, usually as the result of a stroke or head injury. After being in a shortened position for a long time, the muscles become tight and the person can no longer straighten the limbs, even with assistance. This leads to pain, as well as difficulty dressing and bathing. If the legs become contracted, a person can have trouble moving from one surface to another, or no longer stand up straight. In extreme cases, the skin folds become moist and develop sores. Intermittent splinting, along with range of motion exercise, is the best way to treat contractures. Lynn saw that traditional rigid splints didn't improve or even maintain the range of motion the patients had, and the splints were uncomfortable and could cause pressure sores. Working with her OT assistant, Barbara Biles, she started modifying existing soft devices to create comfortable therapeutic splints. A sales representative from a splint manufacturing company noticed Lynn's work and suggested that she contact the rep's company. It took a year to convince Lynn she could help more patients by making her splints available commercially than she ever could by teaching therapists to make their own splints. But finally, she agreed to let the company fly her to Wisconsin to demonstrate her designs. The Progressive Palm Protector Series became the manufacturer's number one selling new product during the year it was launched, and the company realized that nursing homes were an underserved market with huge potential. They worked with Lynn to prepare some of her other designs, resulting in 11 products and 7 patents. Reinvent the descent. Billy Smith 07 and Nick Smith. In the spring of 2006, the Smith brothers, Nick and Billy, were rummaging around in the attic of their grandfather's Colorado home, looking for fireworks and schnapps. Boys. When they uncovered a crumpled box filled with what looked like brightly colored kites or capes. The guys hauled them out to show to their granddad, Bill Smith Jr., himself, by all accounts, a colorful character. A race car driver in Europe for Lotus and McLaren, and an avid skier. The elder Smith said, "Ski clippers. I made them. You should give them a try." So they did. Extended like a sail, with arms spread while shoosing downhill on skis, the feeling was as close to human flight as they thought possible. And they wondered, if it's this much fun when skiing, what about other sports like skateboarding? Shifting their attention from snow to street, the brothers began refining their grandfather's concept. They found that the sails helped manage speed on downhill descents and increased stability and visibility. The Smiths started sewing their own prototypes in a Mill Valley, California garage and recruited friends to help test them. They discovered that, with the sails, they could tackle steeper terrain and get more responsive handling by using smaller, quicker, slalom skateboards rather than traditional straight-shooter longboards. Additionally, because the sails controlled speed, they gave the advantage of not so frequently wearing through gloves and shoes by dragging hands and feet on the street to slow down. They called the colorful kites sporting sails, started marketing them on a website, and watched their idea take off. It was featured in Time, in the New York Times, and in a bunch of other newspapers and on TV shows. Pretty soon they had versions for skiers, snowboarders, surfers, and kayakers. Participants in the emerging sport of long-distance skateboarding have embraced the sails because they help conserve effort and can even be used as a tent for in-the-field overnights. The brothers patented their design, did it through LegalZoom.com, where, by the way, they are featured prominently as an example client. These days, Billy has a day job at Apple, but he's busy every other waking moment on sporting sails research and development. Nick, a USC business grad, manages day-to-day operations. All the sewing is done in Oxnard, California, and fabric comes from a mill in North Carolina. As much as possible, the guys are trying to be a green enterprise, recycling U.S. military surplus webbing, for example, and donating 1% of their profits to environmental and social causes. They don't want to grow too fast, they say. That way they can be responsive to their evolving market. In the works, a junior-sized version for kids.